We welcome Aaron Nola to the big leagues, and we welcome you to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast here on this Wednesday morning, July 22nd. I'm Adam Azer. Heath Cummings and Chris Towers are standing by in our Fort Lauderdale studios.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Here they are. What'd you think of Aaron Nola last night?
Decent?
Yeah, I mean, it's
not
pretty,
bad.
It's pretty good. It's the Rays, though.
Yeah, it's a really soft landing.
I gotta say, that's a very tepid endorsement for six innings, one run, six strikeouts.
Do we need to go through a full list of pitchers that have gone six innings and given up one run to the Rays this year? Because I don't think that will be an impressive list of pitchers.
Well, no, I understand it was the Rays, but did you watch the start? He looked very good.
He looked good.
Yeah, he's got a nice curveball. I can buy the strikeouts. I know you guys were a little skeptical.
I'm not saying it's
going to be one per inning, but...
I just don't think it's the upside super high with him. You know, I look at him a lot like I look at Andrew Heaney. Like, I think he can be a solid pitcher. But the burden of proof is on him to show that he can be more than solid. And, like, that's what Heaney's done, so that's good. But, you know, and I think Nola's worth adding in all formats just in case.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you think that. Again, 64% owned for Aaron Nola. So, today on the show, we're going to do some buy or sell. We've got more FanDuel giveaways, and we're going to go over some of the good food puns that we had from yesterday. Going to get the drop-o-meter out with Carlos Rodon and some others. We got some injuries, some more prospect news, some news on Michael Conforto. First, I never do the same trivia question 2 days in a row. That would be really silly, but I do want to see if Heath Cummings knows the answer. So, here we go. Heath.
It's okay. I forgot what we talked about.
Okay, good. Heath, who leads the American League in runs batted in?
Who leads the American League in runs batted in?
If anyone should know it.
It should be me. I'm going to guess Kendrys Morales.
You know, would you have gotten that if Chris didn't give that hint?
What do you mean? What hint?
If anyone should know, it should be
you. Oh, I didn't know you know what he meant.
Oh, please.
I mean, why wouldn't Kendrys Morales lead the American League in runs? Is that supposed to be like a ha-ha type trivia?
No, just that we couldn't get it yesterday. Well, I knew because it was my question, but Al and Chris were totally stumped, and I imagine most of the listeners were as well. I wanted to see if you knew.
Funny story, my 5-year-old for a long time did not like Kendrys Morales because Billy Butler was his favorite player.
Uh-oh.
Really?
But then he said to me last week, Dad, it kind of seems like we're better since Billy Butler left. That's a fact.
Yeah, well, not that much better, but... Sure.
What do you mean not that much better?
Wasn't Billy Butler on the team last year or no?
Yeah.
They went to the World Series.
The World Series.
Yeah, they lost. But they did it as a wild card team that had to win a down 4 runs in the 8th inning. There was a little bit of luck involved there.
Oh man, Heath, I had a peek to the future of us talking trash to each other during the Yankees Royals ALCS. It's kinda scary.
I just hope that the Astros win that division. So that the Yankees have to go through Houston first. I don't want to go through.
You don't want to go through Houston?
No, I don't want any part of Houston.
Okay. Well, let's get to some buy or sell. Buy or sell, Joe Ross will play his way into the Washington rotation even when Steven Strasburg is healthy.
I can buy that because Doug Fister's been really, really bad.
Is Doug Fister enough of an elder statesman where they will not
remove
him?
That might be the case. He is a free agent after the season, though.
Ooh, that hurts.
So they don't have any real long-term attachment to him. I think it's entirely possible.
You know, the Mets might have something to say about this.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like if you've got a 6 or 7 game lead in the division when Strasburg comes back, and you're not going to need that 5th rotation spot in the playoffs anyways, maybe you just leave Fister in the rotation. If you're fighting and clawing for the division lead with the Mets, then that's when tough decisions have to be made, and Fister probably does get, I guess, sent cut? Can you put that guy in the bullpen?
No, he won't get cut.
Yeah, you'd make him your long man or something like that, yeah. Even though they already have Roark. Look, the Nationals are probably going to make a trade.
Yeah.
Before the deadline.
Well, Doug Fister's not going to be involved in that trade.
No, probably not, but I guess I have not seen this rumor, but I was just thinking kind of It wouldn't shock me if Jordan Zimmerman were in that trade, since he's a free agent after the season.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Look, the thing is, I picked up Ross in two leagues for two reasons. Three reasons. Here we go. Reason number one, I think he's good.
Good reason.
Reason number two, Strasburg threw his first bullpen session, but I still think there are, I don't know, four-ish starts left for Ross before we have to worry about it.
Mediocre reason.
And three, I think that they could find an excuse to get him in the rotation, and sometimes these things just work themselves out.
It's a mediocre reason.
All right. Well, he's 26% owned, Joe Ross, and yesterday gave up two earned runs, three runs total in 6 1/3, only four hits, four strikeouts against the Mets, and he has two walks, 27 strikeouts, and only four extra base hits allowed in 105 plate appearances, 26 and two-thirds innings.
Quick FanDuel note just on how fickle the community is sometimes. On Monday night, everybody went with Heaney. He was the cheap option, Heaney over Harvey, and it worked. Well, you've listened all year long. You know that most everybody agrees you pay up for pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So last night we had DeGrom going up against Joe Ross. I started DeGrom in cash games, and I go in to look, and DeGrom's like 10% owned, and Joe Ross is 40 to 50% owned.
Yeah, I started Joe Ross too.
Like, everybody just decided after this one night we're going with the cheap pitcher, worked in cash, that we're just going to start doing that now.
I think it's more about the fact they don't trust the Mets to get their starting pitchers a win.
Yeah, that was part of it. But also, just the way the hitters worked out yesterday, the guys I wanted were so expensive, so it didn't work out. And I agree with you, Heath. Like, it's not something I want to do often, go with the cheap pitcher, but last night seemed like a good time to do it. Just because you could have done it with Aaron Nola, too. You know, the matchups for Nola and Ross were so good. But even taking the Mets out, Ross has been really good this year. I think he struck out 11 Pirates in his last start. So, all right, look, he's 26% owned. Is there even a question you'd rather have Nola over Aaron Ross?
Joe Ross.
Joe Ross.
I guess the fact that it seems pretty obvious Nola's going to have a role, but I could see Joe Ross being better.
Yeah, I think Joe Ross will be better, and Joe Ross has a better chance of getting wins. It's a bottom-of-the-rotation guy. I kind of feel like maybe your place in the standings determines the answer to this question.
Buy or sell. Kyle Schwarber will play his way into the primary catcher role even when Miguel Montero is healthy.
Sell. But really? That doesn't mean he's going back to the minors either.
Ooh.
Well, they're not going to play him in left field, I don't think.
Why not?
Because Joe Maddon said he's not ready for that, or at least I don't know if he said it in those words, but I'm paraphrasing.
Like, this is a team that is fighting for a playoff spot. They're 9 games back, 8.5 games back of the division, so that's not going to happen. But they are right in the thick of the wild card race. I think he's pretty, I mean, it's obviously very early in his career. But how do you send him back down if Miguel Montero comes back? I don't think you bench Miguel Montero.
Well, the good news is we have plenty of time to see what happens here. But I don't think it's a bad idea to look to shop Schwarber now. What do you guys think?
I don't ever think it's a bad idea to look to shop a young player, like a player who just gets the call up. And that's with saying that I think Kyle Schwarber is really good. Because I think the hype machine starts building up to unreasonable levels.
The New York Daily News is reporting that Michael Conforto has a shot to be called up tomorrow. This is a top prospect for the Mets. Very young, though. Or very inexperienced. I'm not sure if he went to college. But not a lot of minors seasoning. Fantasy owners should pick up Michael Conforto, the outfielder. Buy or sell, Heath?
I'm going to sell. The kid's had, 6 weeks in Double A?
Yep, 187 plate appearances at AA.
I don't buy it.
He just doesn't look like the type of player who makes a huge fantasy impact right away. He doesn't have huge power. He doesn't steal bases. He's a guy who has good plate discipline, gets on base, but in terms of like generating real fantasy production, I'm not so sure.
Moving on, buy or sell, Gerardo Parra, 80% owned. Gerardo Parra, top 30 outfielder rest of season.
It's really, really close. I will say buy.
Barely.
Has he been playing every day?
I don't think he'll play against lefties.
Yeah, he's, let's look. The last 9 games he's sat out, he started 6 of them. So I'm going to say sell.
All right. Would you rather have Shin-Soo Choo or Gerardo Parra?
I'm going to go with Parra.
Yeah, I'll still go with Parra.
I'm getting a little interested in Shin-Soo Choo. He's stolen 2 bases in his last 3 games. That's not much, but for a guy who had 1 steal, I think, before that, or maybe no steals, it's good to see. And I just think that if you look at Chu's slash line against lefty, and first of all, he hit for the cycle yesterday, so yeah. Good for him. But if you look at Chu's slash line against righties, 274, 357, 498. He's just faced a lot of lefties recently, so he's been bad. But I think 62% owned for Shin-Soo Choo. Buy or sell, you got to pick up Shin-Soo Choo.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. No, you don't have to. We don't want to force people to do anything. But I think he's underowned. React.
I mean, at this point, he's a middling power guy who gets on base but doesn't do much else. I'm not sure I'm totally interested in him. He's fine.
Okay, fine.
That was a lukewarm take brought to you by Chris Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, I don't know what in 2015 Shin-Soo Choo is going to do that makes him someone that, like, if he's not already on your roster, you have to go add him.
Chris, you know what you need right now?
What's that?
You need some NRG.
Chris has no credibility anymore because, he told me that, Sunday's True Detective was good and he was wrong, so.
I've never watched one episode of True Detective.
Yeah.
Well, look, Fargo's coming back. That's all we need to care about.
Oh, yeah, I heard it's good, but my mom ruined it for me, so.
Well.
She told me the ending. Oh, there's always that. You gotta watch shows, like, as they air these days. Somebody's gonna spoil them. Spoiler alert, Heath. True Detective Season 2 is terrible. Matt Shoemaker totally screwed Andrew Heaney owners with last night's performance. Buy or sell?
Oh, because they were gonna try to trade him?
No, because one of those two is going to have to leave the rotation, probably.
Okay. Well, Matt Shoemaker had 10 strikeouts last night. That is the exact same amount he had in his previous 5 appearances combined.
Breaking news, the Twins are terrible against right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, I'm still not that worried about it. I just think Heaney's been so good. He's such a part of their future. They're not going to send him down.
Okay, so you're selling?
Sell.
Heath?
Sell.
Sell. Let's give this one to Heath. Buy or sell. There's a better than 5% chance Wade Davis, 0.44 ERA, replaces Greg Holland, 3.34 ERA, as Kansas City's closer.
I mean, 5% chance is really, really low. It's like 20-1 odds. So there might be a 20-1 chance that Greg Holland gets hurt.
Barring injury. No injury.
Barring injury that they just, at this point, 20 games over 500, leading the division by 6 games, decide to mess with the chemistry of the team and change closers.
Look, in fairness, the bullpen guys sit on their own. If Greg Holland's upset, nobody else needs to know about it.
There is absolutely no chance, barring Greg Holland's ERA going well above 4, that
doesn't seem like a Ned Yost kind of move.
There's no, there's a better chance that Wade Davis wins the Cy Young than becomes the closer in Kansas City.
Okay, then, forget it. CJ Krohn is a worthwhile starting corner infield option, buy or sell. 4 hits yesterday for Krohn, all singles.
Until he cools off, sure, I'll buy it.
Yeah, but sell overall. I'm not convinced that he's this good.
If you're streaming your corner infield position, then he is a good option.
Let's get to some news here. Mike Trout, he has a sore heel. He's day-to-day. He does expect to play today, so come on back, Mike Trout. Yordano Ventura was sent to AAA, and then Jason Vargas, who replaced Ventura in the rotation, left last night's game with an elbow injury. So what happens now, Heath?
I don't think... See, here, there's one little piece of information that you're leaving out. Ventura was sent down one start before his bobblehead day.
Oh, no.
His bobblehead day is on Saturday, which is when he's scheduled to pitch. So, I mean, I feel like this is maybe some type of awkward thing where I hope that the front office and Ned Yost are fighting over bringing Giordano back to pitch on his bobblehead day and then maybe sending him back down. I think the smart thing to do is let Giordano go to the minors. Although he doesn't really have that much to figure out. He's been exactly the same guy he was last year, just like Chris Towers showed in his blog post about him. I would anticipate we're going to see a start from either Chris Medlin or Joe Blanton.
Okay, so is Yordano Ventura worth stashing?
Yes. Yes.
Would you drop him for Joe Ross?
Ooh.
It wouldn't take me. I would do that in less than 2 seconds.
I don't know. I wouldn't do it in less than 2 seconds.
My thing with Ventura, and I wrote this yesterday, is just he's better than he's been so far this season, but he's not that good. He wasn't that good last season. Like, he's fine. He's closer to a league average pitcher than a truly above average pitcher. And until the strikeouts get here, I don't think he's someone that you absolutely have to hold on to for fantasy.
A little fun information. I tweeted this out this morning, Adam. Yordano Ventura actually has the lowest FIP of any Royal starter.
Really?
He's the only, along with Jeremy Guthrie, those are the only two pitchers on the staff that have a FIP higher than their ERA, which makes sense because all of them should have an ERA lower than their FIP because they pitch in front of the best defense in baseball.
Right.
But for some reason, that doesn't translate for Ventura. So I expect he's going to stay down there for 3 or 4 weeks, come back, and just set the world on fire.
Chris, do you like a guy who goes 9-2 with a 2.48 ERA and 64 strikeouts and 69 innings and 11 starts?
I'm guessing that's what he did in the last nine starts or whatever.
Last 11 starts, that's what he did last year, which is...
That's great.
Well, I don't think it's fair to look at Yordano Ventura's career and say what he is because he's so inexperienced.
Well, sure,
and he's
capable
of that.
My response would be what happened before those, like, where are we drawing this line? Are we just saying that, like looking back, like retroactively looking at it and saying from this point on he was this thing? Unless something changed, unless we have like...
There is something that changed.
What changed?
That was when the Royals had a team meeting and they agreed as a team to give up Clash of Clans.
Is that right?
He stopped playing Clash of Clans.
Oh, well, but no. apparently he's playing Game of War now.
You can always go back and manipulate the numbers and say last X amount of games, X amount of starts. I get that. But all I'm saying is like for a young pitcher with a good pedigree, right? Good prospect here. Throws as hard as he does, and is not just a fastball guy. Like, he's not a bad pitcher. I don't know why he's struggling so much this year. To see an 11-start stretch like that to end the season is pretty encouraging, I think. So I am surprised he's been this bad.
And he was pretty good in the postseason. He had a couple of really good starts in the World Series, but we're also talking, he went out in the postseason, had 5 strikeouts per 9. That's on top of his 7.8 strikeouts per 9. Comes out this season, 7.7 strikeouts per 9. It's just, for all the heat that his fastball generates, the results aren't there yet.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. So whatever, we can move on. George Springer, this news came out over the weekend. I think I missed it, so we'll update you. George Springer still about 4 weeks away from resuming baseball activities. He has a fractured wrist. Still going to be a while for Springer. Colorado starting pitcher prospect Jonathan Gray could be called up soon. Any interest in him?
You can't be.
The 5 worst letters in baseball, C-O-L-S-P.
Did you see Tulo's quote last night, speaking of the Rockies?
No.
It was not good at all.
What did he say?
We should find the exact quote. It won't be hard to find.
He'll pretend like something is on the line this year.
I hope I can continue to act like this means something.
Oh no. Oh man. He's frustrated. Wow.
Oh wow.
They really should trade him. I mean, what's the point? Trade him now.
I may have misquoted him. I've got the exact quote coming up here in seconds.
Meanwhile, Travis d'Arnaud could begin a rehab assignment soon. Andre Ethier is going to stay the starting left fielder for the Dodgers. Carl Crawford's going to be the 4th outfielder. Francisco Liriano will make his next start tomorrow. Alex Wood said he moved to the first base side of the rubber, and he thinks that will help his results. We'll talk about him later. Brett Anderson left last night's game with a sore Achilles and could be headed to the DL. We'll come back to that. Heath, you have the quote? Yes. Okay.
Hopefully, I can be into every single pitch and pretend like something is on the line.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, it seems like the owner there just won't trade Tulowitzki. But if you own him, you don't want Tulowitzki.
Is he getting ready to go Zach Greinke?
Just take off?
No, I'm just going to be such a jerk about everything this organization is doing that you have to trade me.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be the best case scenario, but except it would not be good for him.
No, he doesn't want to do that. That's not him, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Brett Anderson gets hurt, and the Dodgers need to make a trade. They need to acquire a starting pitcher. They have a terrible rotation after their first two, really. And Anderson probably going on the DL, or, well, seems likely anyway, but who knows. The only thing that I keep coming back to is, like, is there a way that they could free up playing time, or do they even want to, for Alex Guerrero? And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned maybe he gets traded, but a few people pointed out on Twitter that he has a contract that probably means he won't get traded because of some clause
in his contract.
It would
make him a free agent if he gets traded.
Right. So he probably not going anywhere, but if they somehow freed up a spot for him, I would be so interested in picking up Alex Guerrero. What do you guys think happens with the Dodgers?
They need to trade an outfielder for a pitcher. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
trade an outfielder for a pitcher. There's lots of pitchers available. There's teams that need outfielders. You're probably going to have to throw in a prospect, too.
The problem is the outfielders that they'd want to move have such onerous contracts.
I don't know why they don't just trade Puig. They don't like him anyways.
Well,
I would take Puig on my team.
Oh, I would love to have Puig on my team.
All right, I'm not going to speculate on this anymore. We'll see what happens as the trade deadline approaches. Miguel Sano expected back today for Minnesota. Matt Kemp left last night's game. He was hit by a pitch. Justin Upton expected to avoid the DL. Ian Desmond was caught stealing. but A for effort, as Chris Towers likes to say when he grades trades. So thank you for trying. And how about this? Matt Carpenter batted seventh last night. He has one home run.
For his value.
Yeah, he has one home run since May 24th. He batted 190 in June, 177 so far in July. Batting seventh for the Cardinals, Matt Carpenter. That was with a DH.
And that's because they were against a lefty, right?
Probably. I mean, I don't think he's... they were against Carlos Rodon. Matheny didn't specifically say that, I don't think. I think he says he's trying to get him going.
Yeah, but, I mean, the big thing with Matt Carpenter has been the runs over the last couple of years. That's what really separates him when he's good. So batting seventh is a very bad sign for his value.
Probably not permanent, but something to watch. Yeah. And Stephen Piscotty went 1-for-4. He batted ninth. He played left field. There was a lefty on the mound, so Mark Reynolds was at first base and Matt Holliday DH'd. Your stat of the day, Nathan Carnes became the first American League pitcher to homer in a 1-0 game since 1962. He homered off Aaron Nola. That was the only run of the game.
Very Phillies way to lose.
Email of the day, number one, is from Scott. It says, Scott says, I've sent at least half a dozen emails recently. No, excuse me. I've sent at least a half dozen decent emails, and you've never read one on the podcast. Can you at least let me know if you're getting them?
Hi, Scott.
Thing is, Scott, we don't read decent emails. We only read bad emails like this one.
No, Scott, I want to address you and everyone else. Very lucky that we've been getting so many emails this year, and just every year we get more and more. But I've tried to pick about 5 a day, and I'd say we probably get about 20 a day or so. So I don't know. It's not that easy to get the emails read, and I apologize, but keep sending them, Scott. It's nothing personal. Email of the day number 2 is from John. He said, this is awesome, and I wanted to share it with you. You answered an email question of mine on the podcast yesterday about FanDuel, 50-50 leagues versus tournaments. I sent you the moth joke. What's his name?
Norm MacDonald.
Anyway, I took your advice about mixing in a tournament or two when I felt confident about my lineup. I did one tournament yesterday, the CBS Pod Contest, and I came in first place. So thank you for the advice. All right, good for you, John. You kept me out of winning money yesterday in the CBS Pod contest. Now, telling you about FanDuel, you need to go on there, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter the offer code CBSPOD, and for every dollar you deposit, up to $200, FanDuel's going to match it dollar for dollar. That gets earned as you play. FanDuel, a lot of fun stuff today, actually. You've got early games, you've got midday games, and then you've got the night slate. Our contest, FanDuel.com/CBSPod is for the 9 games that start at 7 o'clock or later Eastern time. So join us, FanDuel.com/CBSPod, and start playing FanDuel today. And we do have some giveaways for you. If you want to tweet me, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, 5 free entries to our contest, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. 5 free entries. Tweet me at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. And, yeah, nothing clever today. Just tweet me and I'll pick 5 of you at random. So.
How random is it really?
I'm telling you, it's random. You questioned me last time, but it remains random. Moving on. Some of the food puns we got yesterday for the giveaway. We asked you for food puns. Stephen Piscotty inspired this. Rye Bread says, wonton soup.
Yeah.
That's good. Jay says, PF Kangs, although it's gong, but it's funny.
Are you sure it's gong? Because the Royals announcer said gung.
I think it's gong. Royals announcers are stupid. Another one from Jay. Korean barbecue. This one might have been my favorite.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, Korean barbecue. AJ. Dozier family, let me start again. Here we go. Dozier familia get a vote for where you're eating. That's 4 player names in that sentence. That's pretty good.
I don't like it.
No? Robinson Cannoli from Edward.
Yeah.
Mark Goodridge says, Tyson Chicken Ross. Matthew Angelus has a White Sox pun, Eaton Saladino.
Okay, I like that one.
And this is my favorite, from the Vegan Pagan, Bartolo Colon Blow Cereal. Old SNL.
Nick, boy. Have your Marcakis and eat it too.
That's good.
How about good this, Billy Burns?
Move on.
Ender CRT.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks.
Let's get the drop-o-meter out. On a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are you to drop these guys? 0 is no way. 10 is, heck yeah, drop this guy. Jimmy Paredes, 66% 10. Out.
2.
Ooh. All right. Okay. Explain, debate, go.
He's super streaky. He doesn't play every single day. And I'm not, what track record do we have to back this up? If he's streaky, his last 16 games have been terrible. 13 before that were good. 9 before that were bad. We have
33 before that were good.
We have 46 games where he's been a worthwhile fantasy option in his career. Drop him.
He's coming back. He hit second last night. Probably going to hit a home run to the short porch in Yankee Stadium tonight. All this tells me is he's been bad for 16 games. He's got another good streak coming.
He has been incredibly
streaky. If you drop him now, you're going to pick him up later.
That's what happened to me. I mean, it probably happened to a lot of people. I dropped him after. So basically, here's what happened. First 33 games for Paredes, batted .353, .581 slugging. Then the next 9 games, 2-for-32.
That's bad.
And then the next 13 games, .420 with 3 homers. And now the last 16 games, batting .167. So he might just be very streaky.
Well, he is very streaky.
That's what he's banking on. Well, he might just be bad.
He might be.
But the Orioles have, the Bucks, as in Showalters, the Orioles have talked about him like he can really hit.
Yeah, he can really hit.
I'm sure they talked about Steve Pierce like that last year, too.
He's probably better than Steve Pierce.
All right. How about Carlos Rodon on the drop-o-meter? 15 for me.
I think I'm going to have to go ahead and say...
Get into like a 6.
That's it?
I was going to say 8.
I understand hanging on to him for his potential, but
that potential is not going to happen.
He doesn't have a third pitch right now, and
yeah, he did. It's called a ball. That's his first pitch.
That's his first.
The issue with him actually isn't that, like, it's not like he's all over the place. He just can't get right-handed hitters to swing at his pitches outside of the zone. He's not getting guys to chase. It's actually very similar to what was happening with Taijuan Walker earlier in the season. And Walker did end up turning it around. He's been really good, although...
Not really.
Not the last 2 starts, specifically since I wrote about how good he's been.
Last 3 starts, actually, has been bad.
Yeah, but...
But
Rodon just, he needs to develop that change-up in order to really be a starting pitcher. And I think it'll come, but right now it's... He just can't get right-handers to chase his stuff.
You know, Taijuan Walker gave up 16 runs in his first 3 starts of the year.
He was dreadful for his first nine.
He's given up 16 runs in his last three starts.
Yeah.
Would you rather...
At least he's not walking people now.
Would you rather have Carlos Rodon or Nathan Carnes?
Carnes.
Would you rather have Rodon or Joe Ross?
Joe Ross.
Joe Ross.
Would you rather have Ross or Carnes?
Ross.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that I wouldn't say Carnes. Because I'm not certain that Ross is going to hold on to his spot.
Yeah.
Drop, start, or sit Taiwan Walker?
Well, next week he's only going to be a one-start pitcher, right?
Yes.
There's no way I'm dropping him. I'll sit him
probably, depending
there's
on...
There's no chance I'm dropping him.
Unless the matchup's really good next week.
Drop-o-meter, Kyle Gibson. Wow, was I disappointed last night. I finally bought in, and Mike Trout didn't even play. And he gave up 10 hits and 6 runs in 5 innings.
I'm not dropping him yet. I'll say it too.
5. I was never real excited about him in the first place.
I wouldn't say I bought in. I just, cause I don't know. But it's been a long stretch of hit for him with a sub-3 ERA. Now it's 3.19. But I guess I just wasn't really giving Gibson enough credit, so I thought. But this seemed like a tough week for him. The Angels are hitting well, and he's got the Yankees later this week. I guess we can talk about him on Monday. Kendall Graveman, 62% owned. Drop-o-meter.
7.
Yeah, I'm good with that. That seems like a really good number.
How about some standouts from yesterday? We talked about Shin-Soo Chu. Matt Latos is only 53% owned. We've talked about Nola. We've talked about Joe Ross, Nathan Carnes, Rodon. Where does Matt Latos rank in there? He had a great start at Arizona, and his home road splits and the fact that he spent his career in Cincinnati, or a lot of it, suggests that even when he gets traded, he still might be fine.
What was the list? Nola, Rodon...
Nola, Rodon, Joe Ross, Carnes.
I think I might take Latos over all of them.
He's right there at the top, yeah.
Yeah, he's still only 53% owned. We've talked about him for weeks now. People still are slow to buy into Matt Latos. Just what's your overall outlook on him?
It just depends so much on where he gets traded to, I think.
Does it, though? Because, again, he was really good in Cincinnati. I don't think he's the same pitcher, but... Home ERA this year is over 6. I think a lot of that was the first start of the season and a few others.
Yeah, he had 2 but, bad starts against the Braves at home. That was the big thing.
But the road ERA is low 2s. 2.14 for Latos.
Yeah, one thing is that his velocity is back down in his last 2 starts, so that's something to keep an eye on. But the results have been there lately, so I think you should definitely add him.
Chris Heston.
Stud. All right.
What?
Stud.
You think so?
Well, I think he's the ultimate matchup-dependent pitcher.
So his last 5 starts have been pretty good. I think one of them was okay, but this is the most consistent stretch we've seen from Heston, who's 90% owned. But look at the opponents that he's faced in those 5 starts. San Diego twice, and Miami, the Mets, and the Phillies.
Might be the worst. That might be the 4 worst offenses in baseball, actually.
You think so?
Pretty close.
It's not far away.
Yeah. Can't be that bad. Can't be that far. Braves are probably in there, too. He didn't get to face them. What do you think about Heston? Is he going to keep this up, or would you try to sell?
Oh, I think if you could sell based on this 5-game performance and get a value, then, yeah, it's worth it. I wouldn't just sell him for nothing, though, because whenever he faces a bad offense, and he'll get to face more bad offenses, he's going to be good.
See, I would have no problem dropping him for a lot of the guys we talked about today.
That is ridiculous.
I can't drop him. Like, he's been on my bench for...
Then why do you own him?
I haven't started him in like 4 weeks.
Then why do you own him? I'll tell you, because you don't start him because you don't trust Chris Heston.
Yeah.
And you know why you don't trust Chris Heston, because he's been so good at times and he's been so bad. But, like, if I really believe in Ross, or if I really believe in Nola, or Latos is out there, a lot of leagues, there's like Jose Quintana's out there.
I just haven't had the guy come around that I feel comfortable dropping him yet. But there are, like you're saying, there are definitely guys that I would drop him for.
We owe the Marlins an apology.
Why?
Because we said that might be the worst 4 offenses in baseball.
Uh-oh.
And there's at least one that's way, way worse and a couple that are definitely worse. Kind of worse.
Well, the Rays.
The one we left out was the White Sox.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're bad.
But I think he may have faced the Marlins without Stanton.
Yeah, the Marlins without Stanton are,
they're horrible.
They're a flaming bag of dog poop.
Who else is down there, Heath?
The Rays.
Yep.
Who are really bad. Really, yep. Really bad. And then just barely below them, so probably better than them without Stanton, the Mariners.
Are you guys a believer in Taijuan Walker to the point where you would try to buy low on him now?
Yes.
Yeah, as long as it's really low.
Were there any standouts from yesterday that I missed that you would like to discuss?
Well, I mean, have we talked enough about Kyle Schwarber?
No, you know what? I was actually thinking that, like, maybe we haven't.
Yeah, I mean, God, that was impressive. I actually fell asleep early last night, so I didn't see the two home runs he hit, but man, he's really good, and it's like he's got a 1200 OPS in the majors in his, eight games, but like, dude had like an 1100 OPS in the minors too. That's all he does is hit.
Another one that was, can we give a shout out to the Tigers bullpen?
Soria?
No, oh, it wasn't Soria.
It was Feliz? It was
everybody else.
Yeah, Feliz.
Neftali Feliz, I think that's not going to happen for you.
You might want to check the math on this, but I believe that Seth Smith got intentionally walked twice last night.
Wow. That was a significant loss for the Tigers. Every loss that they have between now and the end of the month pushes them closer to trading Yoenis Cespedes and David Price.
They're done.
Cespedes, I believe he leads baseball in doubles. I think I read that today. But yeah. Does it really matter what park Cespedes is in?
I don't think so, no.
He's park
a little.
Proof. He's played in Oakland, he's played in Boston, he's played in Detroit. So he's run the gamut. But, kind of an interesting year for him. I think he only has 13 home runs. We'll look up Cespedes' stats. But if he gets
I'm trying
moved,
to think of a place that's in contention that he could go that would be a bad thing
well,
for
the
him.
Royals, I read.
Yeah, it's not happening.
The Angels, maybe?
That would not be good for him.
I really don't worry about it. Like, he's a guy that I think he's just gonna do what he does, and it doesn't really matter. He's such a pull-heavy hitter. Most parks are it's not like he's hitting 360-foot home runs. So if he's pulling it, a lot of those balls are going to go over the fence anyway.
You knew the Angels should trade for that would be much cheaper at him?
Who's that?
They needed to trade for the combination of Ryan Rayburn and David Murphy. Those two guys, as a whole, really, really good.
Also, I did want to mention Alex Wood moved to the first base side of the rubber?
Yes, right. And he was happy about that, but it didn't.
It's walked four batters and struck out three. I don't know why that's something that would be noteworthy. That's still, it's so hard to trust him.
Yeah, he's a big surprise for me. This guy was so good last year. He had like a 2.75 ERA.
Yep.
And, strikeout per inning. And this year, 83 Ks in 112 innings. Only one of his last five starts was any good.
Yep.
So, who do you like better rest of the season, Alex Wood or Taijuan Walker?
Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, I'll go Walker, barely.
How confident are you in Alex Wood?
Not very. I have a hard time transitioning because I spend a good portion of my time at my desk trolling Scott from across the row about Alex Wood. So I'm trying to give like a realistic Alex Wood take and not just my trolling Scott White take.
What is wrong with Chris Towers?
Chris Towers
sorry,
is
I've been coughing the
ready
whole time, man.
To die over here. Well, every time I do a podcast with Chris, we have this experience.
I thought I was doing a good job covering the turning the mic down. I'm so sorry.
He might be allergic to me.
It's entirely possible.
It's my pheromones?
Yeah.
I was wrong about Cespedes. He is second in the league in doubles in baseball, which...
Behind Kendrys Morales?
American League central player leads baseball in doubles.
Huh.
It's not Kendrys Morales?
No, it's not.
Lorenzo Cain.
No, it's not a Royal.
I will go Huh.
Jose Abreu.
Jason Kipnis.
Jason Kipnis. How about that?
Yes. 28 doubles. Five up.
28. Five. Something I saw last night is Omar Infante's got 20 doubles. That shocked me.
Whoa. That is surprising. All-star right there. All right, five up. Nobody down today. Five up. Delino DeShields is 34% owned. Is he under-owned? Four multi-hit games in his last six.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's way too low.
Would you rather have DeShields or Chu?
I think I'm going to go with DeShields.
Yeah, I think he can do more.
Would you rather have DeShields or Marlon Byrd?
Byrd.
Actually,
I don't know. Byrd's such a platoon-heavy guy.
I think I'm going to go with DeShields.
Yeah.
All right, 34% own. Get on that, people. Edwin Encarnacion. So this is interesting. Last 22 games, he's only batting .224, but he does have 6 home runs and 14 walks to 8 strikeouts. And he is not striking out anymore. That is a good sign.
Yep.
That's one of his strengths. In that 22-game stretch, Encarnacion has a 175 BABIP for the season. He has a .228 BABIP and a .233 batting average. His BABIP is usually around .260. I think the fact that Encarnacion has really cut down on the strikeouts is a great sign. Still hitting for some power, just no average. Do you think that comes up and he's like a .250, .260 hitter or something and really good rest of the year?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. The same thing happened to Jose Bautista, and his average is still low because of it. He had a ridiculously low BABIP early in the year.
All right, good job, E5. Devin Travis, I put him in 5 up. I was actually thinking about putting him in 5 down. I hadn't realized that Travis is actually hitting .353 since coming off the DL. But, I mean, you talk about no power anymore. 6 doubles is good in 20 games. But no home runs, and I don't know what to make of Devin Travis.
He told us when it was happening, this is a fluke. I don't have this much power. I don't know what's happening. It's like angels are carrying the ball over the wall.
So where do you rank him rest of season? I'll throw out some names to go along with Devin Travis here. Devin Travis, or let me get some names up, or Howie Kendrick.
That's a really good one.
I think I still take Travis over Kendrick.
I'll take Travis.
Travis or Pedroia?
Pedroia.
Yep.
Travis or Cano?
Cano easily.
Wow.
I'm back on.
I'm not back on, Travis.
Travis or Panic?
Travis.
Good and bad for Travis. He's batting 9th now. That's the bad news. The good news is he's scored 18 runs in 28 games batting 9th.
Well, yeah, 9th is not a bad place to bet for runs.
Well, you're right, but it is fewer at-bats.
It is.
Yeah, it's maybe more runs per at-bat, but not the lower volume.
I would guess, and we could do some research on this maybe, but I would guess that 9th is better for runs than like 6th, 7th, or 8th.
I think that's probably true, yeah. All right, a few more guys here. Gene Segura, he is batting .429 in July with one extra base hit, which came yesterday. Number 16 shortstop in points, but number 10 in roto so far, and Segura is 69% owned. Do you think he could have a nice second half?
I think this entire Brewers offense could be the turnaround of the second half. I mean, they're not going to be a good team, but their offense was much worse than they really are for most of the first half, and so I think a lot of their players might be undervalued, and Segura is one of them.
Would you rather have Segura or Jimmy Rollins?
Segura.
Segura or Starlin Castro?
Segura.
Segura.
Segura or Jung-Ho Kang?
Segura.
Ooh.
There's a chance he gets traded, right?
Who, Kang or Segura?
Segura.
I suppose.
I thought I've seen that.
I mean, Gong's going to play every day now. I think I might go with Gong.
Probably take Segura and Roto for the steals.
Yeah, okay.
Justin Turner went 1-for-4 with a home run. Last 18 games, .338 batting average, but only one walk to 19 strikeouts. My question for Turner, who has a 36% line drive rate this year, is there any reason to doubt him, or are you convinced?
I think he's very good. I think he's a good hitter.
I think there's a reason to doubt if this might be his career year. But I think he's still good. Does that make sense?
Like, he won't be this good again, but...
Right. I'm not sure he's this good, but he's good.
Okay. Fantasy football season is here, so we've got some things for you to consider. I want you to play on our website, cbsports.com. Our commissioner product is awesome. Go to cbsports.com/play. You're going to get exclusive player rewards. You're going to get a free draft kit app, discounted team gear, and plenty more. That's CBS Sports Commissioner. Trust me, it's worth it. You want to use it. cbsports.com/play. And cbsports.com/draft for our draft kit, which is over 150 pages of awesome rankings and cheat sheets and sleepers and breakouts and busts. So get it right now at cbsports.com/draft. A few more things to talk about here. Michael Wacha, Danny Salazar, Mark Burley, they were all in action yesterday. Does anybody have any strong, interesting, great opinions about Salazar, Burley, or Wacha?
I was impressed, and I've been a guy that's been more down on Salazar than most of the people here. I was impressed with how he held it together yesterday. Got off to a really rough start. That's a bad ballpark for a guy that gives up a lot of home runs. And he held it together, got through 6 innings, 8 strikeouts. That's the type of thing he needs to do when he's not good, so that those starts when he is good can drive his ERA down. The problem has been in the past that he's either great or just awful. And if he can be not good and only give up 3 runs over 6 innings, then he's got a chance of being as good as everybody thinks he already is.
Yeah.
Okay, in the bullpen, Brad Boxberger got a save. Jake McGee got one on Saturday. That was, you know, I thought it was like, yeah, just because. Brad Boxberger got his 24th save. J.J. Hoover blew a save for Cincinnati with Aroldis Chapman being rested.
He's been rested for a long time, hasn't he? Like,
No.
Third day?
Chapman?
Yeah.
I think he had pitched the previous 2 days, and he threw like 44 pitches in one of them.
Don't think that's true.
All right, Heath, let's bet.
Okay, what are we betting?
$100.
I have no...
$100 is what we're betting.
All right, here's the bet. Here's the bet.
His last appearance...
Wait, here's the bet. Here's the bet. Here are the terms.
Okay.
The winner gets to set the loser's FanDuel lineup for tonight, essentially wasting $2 by picking an atrocious team. Or it doesn't have to be atrocious, just kind of.
So it looks like he's
fun
pitched
off the wall.
Was yesterday the 21st?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, you were right.
Oh, good. So I get to set your lineup?
No.
Ah, fine. That's all I got. Oh wait, deep league. Juan Uribe is batting .287. With 7 home runs in 45 games with the Braves. In that stretch, he's the number 19 third baseman in points, number 14 in Roto. He's 6% owned. And who would you rather have, Uribe or Crone at corner infield?
Probably Crone right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're both kind of the streaming options, and Crone's hot right now, right?
And do you have any interest in Tyler Saladino, Raisel Iglesias, or Matt Harrison?
Matt Harrison just shutting down the Rockies at Coors Field.
Ridiculous.
I was so mad at Troy Tulowitzki last night.
Yep.
Because he was the obvious best hitter of the night in Daily Fantasy. And then to come out with that quote about pretending to try afterwards. Ugh. No, I don't.
I'm actually very interested in Raisel Iglesias. I don't know how good he is. But I find him very interesting. And I want to keep my eye on him, because if he starts to put things together, I think things could get really good really quickly.
I don't have much time here because it is Wednesday, so some injuries for you. Steven Sousa's back. He went 0-4 with 4 strikeouts, so back where you never picked up right where he left off. Jose Iglesias missed the game with an illness. Franco was out with an elbow injury. Chris Young is going to start against lefties for the Yankees. Bad news for Carlos Beltran. Brett Gardner has not attempted a steal since June 12th. Very strange.
The hell?
Brandon Beachy was sent to the minors. Yasmani Grandal was out again. He took a foul tip off the mask over the weekend. Pinch hit on Monday, sat on Tuesday. And Francisco Cervelli was out with a wrist injury. Emails. Grade the trade from Aaron in Lexington, Kentucky. He says, Dear Anthony, John, and Carl Anthony. Chris knows that.
Oh, yeah.
First number one picks for Kentucky. Grade the trade. Give up Kazmir and Kemp. Get Strasburg.
It's too much. That's a D.
Minus.
D minus, okay. Dear Barney, Ted, and Marshall, this is from Alex in Denver. That's how I met your mother, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
10-team head-to-head points, 5 outfielders. What is a reasonable trade offer to get Stanton?
He's got to be back within the... If you were going to trade for Giancarlo Stanton, you should have done it 3 weeks ago. At this point, you're not going to get too much of a discount because he's getting closer to returning. I think he's supposed to start swinging this week. He could be back in a couple weeks. So I still think you have to offer something close to, you know, his real value.
Would you give up Matt Kemp for Giancarlo Stanton?
In a second.
Yeah, I would too.
You don't have concerns about this injury hampering him when he gets back?
There are plenty of reasons to be concerned, but it's also Giancarlo Stanton. The upside is so ridiculous.
An email from Joe Pig. Dear McManus, Keaton, and Fenster.
The only thing that hit me are those Alexes.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Do you believe Tony Cingrani can hold down a rotation spot for the rest of the year? And what kind of value would Cingrani have? He's pitching tonight, right? Or today? Or no?
Yeah, I think he's a bullpen guy. I can't really buy him as a starter with his control issues.
But
he'll have a chance, for sure he'll have a chance, but I'm not terribly confident in it.
I don't know if he's pitching today. He's certainly not pitching tonight.
The thing is,
I don't know what time they play.
I mean, they're going to need starters. They're going to trade all their good ones.
He's not pitching today. Mike Leake is. Yeah, I think right. He's going to have the opportunity. I think in a deep league, he's worth stashing before he does get the start.
Yeah. Because
if he pitches well, then there's going to be a lot of competition.
Oh, I hope you're doing this next email because I love the reference at the start.
I didn't want to do it because we don't really have time. I want to talk FanDuel quickly.
Oh.
But it's a Wonder Years.
Let the record show that Heath likes the Wonder Years.
Yes.
Heath, what are we doing in FanDuel tonight? I think it's kind of a tough night.
It is kind of a tough night. You have to decide if you're going to trust Dan Jennings or not. And
I
that's
don't.
Never a good feeling.
Yeah, look, Jose Fernandez seems like the obvious pick, but he has
so mad last week when he did that.
He has
like
a high 3 ERA on the road in his career. He's at Arizona.
I don't care about that at all.
And he doesn't pitch that deep into games. I think he's thrown 94 pitches as his maximum.
Okay, here's the thing. If he throws 94 pitches, fantastic. I'm great with that. If he throws 89 pitches like he did in the second start, that's outstanding. I'm good with that. He's worth 10,300 at either one of those numbers. If he throws 70 pitches like he did in his last start, so if you don't want to go with Fernandez in cash, I think the obvious play is Sonny Gray. Yes, the Blue Jays have a good offense, but it's the Athletics going up against Felix Dubron. And Gray's a big favorite to win. Vegas doesn't think much of the Blue Jays offense in Oakland against Gray, so I would probably just go with Gray there.
Just hasn't been pitching that well lately.
No, he hasn't been. I mean, it's not a good night.
No, it's not. What do you think about CJ Wilson against the Twins?
The Twins, I made a reference earlier.
They're actually pretty good against lefties.
Yeah, they're awful against righties. They're good against lefties. I was actually considering, I mean, especially if Sano's back and you got Dozier, I don't think CJ Wilson's a good plan. I mean, I guess really the other guy, you know, revenge game. Edinson Volquez against the Pirates. The Royals are going to crush Charlie Ward.
Strikeouts are so important.
What's that?
Though. Strikeouts are too important to trust him.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just saying. The Pirates are terrible. Joe Blanton struck out 5 Pirates last night in 3 innings. So I think
the Pirates are not terrible. You can't call the Pirates terrible.
They're not very good against right-handed pitching, I don't think.
Well, they're not terrible. I mean, there are some terrible teams out there. The Pirates offense is not one of them.
Okay. I'm sorry. The Pirates are not terrible.
You take it back.
I do not think they're very good against right-handed pitching. Offensive players.
Yeah, offense.
I think there's 3 offenses that I would like to stack tonight.
Can I guess them?
What's that?
Can I guess them?
Yeah.
The Astros against Joe Kelly.
That is not one of them.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. The Cardinals against John Danks.
That's one of them.
And the Royals.
Against Charlie Morton. Yes.
Not the Astros. Oh, the Angels? Oh, no. The A's. The A's against Dubron.
Nope.
The Angels against Pelfrey.
No.
Who?
The Orioles against Nova.
Fine. I disagree, but okay.
You think because Nova's good?
Nova is not bad enough. He's like 3 earned runs in 5 innings. And then the bullpen's obviously very good, although they did use their best relievers yesterday. So it's not quite stackable, in my opinion, except Chris Davis has amazing numbers against Nova, so you should consider that.
But the fact that you put in the notes that you should bench Manny Machado because he's 1-for-14 against Nova really, really grinds my gears.
See, I disagree. I think third base being a deep position, I'm not going to spend the second most amount of money on a third baseman, $4,400 on a guy who's 1-for-14. Means something to me.
Yeah, I know it does.
However, it's I don't know. Heath, I found it to be a tough day because I felt like the guys that I really wanted other than Royals, hitters-wise, were pretty expensive.
Well, you got to start Matt Holliday and Johnny Peralta, right?
Peralta has terrible numbers in his career against Danks.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah, I don't really either.
What's that?
I don't either.
Okay. So I think Peralta and Holliday, and maybe if you can get him, especially in a tournament, I like Grichuk.
Okay. How about Preston Tucker against Joe Kelly?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good play. Preston Tucker's one of those guys that I am just really bad at picking when he's going to be good. Mm-hmm. which doesn't really mean anything. How about Victor Martinez against Mike Montgomery?
I love that call because Victor Martinez kills lefties. He's just kind of cold right now. So for the same price, I went with Gattis over him against Joe Kelly. I don't understand why you're not stacking Astros. Joe Kelly is just Joe Kelly.
Yeah, I think when I mean, that's not terrible, I guess.
No, I totally get the V-Mart thing. It was a personal thing for me. I just, like, I looked at his game log. He wasn't hitting that well. But, and I think Montgomery's pretty good. I think he's better than you guys.
And I'll probably go back to Wieters a little bit because, I mean,
he's been struggling too.
Such a great situation last night.
I told Al last night, I said, don't stack the Orioles against Nate Eovaldi.
Nate Eovaldi is terrible against left-handed hitters.
He's not, though, because he doesn't give up home runs. He gives up hits, but he's given up like one home run in 10 starts, 9 starts or something like that.
Chris Towers, I would like to know some point, because you find these things much easier than I do. Game track, or MLB at bat last night was saying that Eovaldi was touching 100 on a semi-regular basis last night.
Yeah, that's what I read in the recap too. I was flipping to the Phillies game and the Nationals game, so I didn't see that much of Eovaldi, but that doesn't surprise me. He hasn't pitched in a while, so.
He does that.
He was sitting at 98 pretty regular and touching 100.
Let's look at Brooks Baseball.
Yeah, I think it's true.
That's
he throws hard.
But he doesn't throw that hard, does he, generally?
Yeah, he throws hard and straight.
Okay.
Oh yeah, he's the hardest thrower, probably one of the hardest starting pitching. Hardest
average 98.5 with his four seamer.
Last night?
Hit 101.1. It's possible that like the
gun was hot.
Yeah, it's possible the gun's hot by a couple miles an hour, but you know.
Because what's his four seamer average this year?
Hey, we got to wrap this up because it's Wednesday and I got to shorten the show. So, okay, is there anything else you want to know? You want us to know about FanDuel?
Let's see. If I was looking for one bargain that I really like tonight and it doesn't play for the Royals, Adani Echevarria at Arizona against Robbie Ray, $2,200 at shortstop. Great value.
Okay, thank you guys very much. I apologize for not reading the winning lineup from yesterday's tournament. It's something I always want to do. I'll try to do that tomorrow. But at least we read the email from the guy who had the winning lineup from yesterday's tournament. Keith Cummings, Chris Towers. See you guys later.
See ya.